Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, March the 24th. We're going to talk a little baseball today with our good friend Dave Michaels. Dave, it's always absolutely wonderful to have you, especially when the topic is baseball. So welcome aboard.
It's that time of year, man. I am just excited.
Yeah, and especially this year.
Yes.
You know, when we are talking about this sounds great. The world champion Texas Rangers. That
is a really defending World Series.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound cool?
It sounds very cool. There was a story, by the way, in the Dallas Morning News today, very long story about the clubs that had repeated. It hasn't happened since 99-2000.
Yankees.
So it's been a while
since
it's happened. You know, it's funny because in the 70s, you had several, the A's, the Yankees, the Reds. And it seemed like then we had to go all the way up to the Yankees of the late 90s. But in the 21st century, we haven't had anybody almost 24 years without a repeat. But for a long time,
you've had teams that have won the series multiple times, the Red Sox being one.
Yes.
But you're right. Nobody's won back to back.
Yeah, and what's funny, though, is, you know, you are, like me, you know, you love baseball history. And if you go back to, like, the 50s, of course, the Yankees won several. At one point, the Yankees actually won five in a row, which is pretty incredible. But here lately, it hasn't happened. And somebody, and I don't know who said this, maybe it was in that newspaper article that I talked about, somebody was saying that it has something to do with free agency, that the teams are not together. And you can see a little bit of that with the Rangers, you know, when they had to let go of some people that they probably wish they could keep. But, you know, there's only so much money you can spend, Dave.
You're right about that. And free agency, I'm not going to say, well, it didn't ruin the game, but it didn't help the game. But back prior to free agency, and Sylvia, you can appreciate this, prior to free agency, the teams were together. You didn't lose players to other teams. You traded them. You know, that's one thing. You know, one of the more famous trades ever was the Billy Martin trade. You know, Billy Martin's playing for the Yankees. He's probably one of the finest, if not one of the best infielders in the league. Was an MVP of a World Series the whole bit. But one incident caused him to be traded from the Yankees to, at the time, the Kansas City Athletics, before they moved to Oakland. And, you know, that's the only way you got off the team. Right. You had to be traded. You couldn't open yourself up for bidding. You know, when your contract ended with a team, most likely they re-signed you or somewhere between the end of your contract and sometime during the season, they traded you so they could get out of it.
And, you know, some trades were critical to creating dynasty, like when Frank Robinson was traded to the Orioles. I mean, they were in the World Series four times in 6 years with Frank was there. He was the perfect complement to that team in 1966. Right. That's exactly what they needed. And another, I mean, I like the Orioles a lot, so I know their history. Another one was Mike Cuellar was traded from Houston to the Orioles for Kurt Bleffery, of all people.
Right, and that was not one of the better value trades.
Absolutely. I mean, he only won 139 games in seven seasons. I mean, that's a pretty good trade. And, you know, if you remember when the Rangers traded Sammy Sosa, that didn't turn out as good for the Rangers.
No.
That was not a good one.
But when, okay, here's another one. Rangers get Jose Canseco, and who did they give up? Ruben Sierra,
right? That's Bobby Witt. Yeah, Bobby Witt. That's right.
So, I mean,
it worked. I mean, but then there's the greatest trade, I think, or one of them, when they traded Teixeira to the Braves and they literally got the starting shortstop, the closer, and a starting pitcher in those World Series teams. So that was a heck of a trade.
And when they got
David Murphy,
the Yankees.
Yes, and when they got David Murphy in that trade with the Red Sox, you know, so, you know, trades were part of the game. But I will say this about free agency, that I actually agree with you. I think it was great for the players for a while. But now I think you have this phenomenon where more and more players cannot find a team. And I think that what's going to happen is that what free agency is going to create in the major league, in the players, is it's like sort of like Hollywood, where 20% of the players make 80% of the money. And that's going to squeeze a lot of players out of the major leagues. You're seeing it. I mean, one of my favorite players with the Rangers last year was the switch hitter, the left fielder who played left field a couple of times, switch hitter. I can't think of his name right now. I'm blanking.
Talking about Will Smith.
No. Will Smith was signed by Kansas City, but
right.
The fellow who played left field a lot, switch hitter, who was actually very effective and he's out. He hasn't signed with anybody. Look at Jordan Montgomery. He hasn't signed with anybody. There are some rumors that he will.
So left field. So I'm thinking because Jankowski came off the bench, but he re-signed. He's still with the Rangers.
No, that's Jankowski. I'm thinking of the other. Cody. Anyway, it'll come to me in a minute. But what I'm saying is that was a player who, the kind of player that you want to have on a team, but he hasn't been able to sign with anybody, which is, I think, an indication that the money situation is changing in Major League Baseball. And now that leads me to a quick question before we get to other questions I have. What can you say about the television situation? Because I guess they're going to be back with Bally again, right? But I keep saying that when are the Rangers, and maybe it's because they cannot do it, but wouldn't it be great if they put all their games on over the air and then had the streaming and basically took care of it that way? Or am I just dreaming? I don't know.
Well, you're not dreaming, but it's not over the air programming. When you consider you're talking 181 ball games, 182 ball games, In the 162. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. 162 games in a year.
We hope they play 180.
We hope they play 180 games, but 162 games. That's 162 evening hours, and at times daytime hours that you have to, as a over-the-air broadcasting entity. And we're going to use. Well, let's use locally here in the DFW area, KDFW TV Channel 4. Now, they have a sister station, Channel 21.
Right.
That would work.
Or 27. Yeah, well, they used to be on 27, if you remember.
They used to be on 21. They used to be on 27. They used to be on a lot of things. They used to be on, you know, Home Sports Entertainment. And I'm going way back in history. But my point is, wow, I think one of my lights just went out.
Did you lose your lights? Is there a storm near your house?
No. We'll do that. We'll fire off that lamp. We'll fire off the
desk. No, because there were some storms in the area a couple of days ago. A couple of my friends lost their internet.
Yeah, we had a little flickering of lights, but
yeah.
It didn't affect me. But in any case, I think I lost a light bulb. In any case, with over-the-air television, it has never been. It truly has never been a successful WGN out of Chicago was probably the last entity to be over the air because Chicago Cub games for the majority of the time were day games. You're talking like a 1 o'clock start. They're done by 4 in the afternoon. You're back into regular programming. So during the summer months when you're going to be doing, you know, reruns anyway, or children's programming during the daytime hours, that didn't hurt them, and they could sell the advertising. Not so much now. That's the reason why you have cable entities. That's the reason why the superstation WTBS was born, and the Atlanta Braves. And that was the reason why, you know, Fox Sports Southwest, before it became Bally's, before Amazon came in and decided to save the day, because now Amazon's got their claws into that. And so, I know what you're saying, stream it, but not everybody can stream it.
Right.
Not everybody has cable. I don't get Bally's.
Yeah, I have the same problem. I mean, we don't have the I cannot watch Bally.
No, I can't watch Bally's. And one of the reasons why, and I'll just say this on my own personal end, I give up cable. you know, I watch another streaming entity. I can purchase it, but why?
Well, it's the same thing. We gave up cable several years ago, but we still somehow could watch. But anyway, I just wish that, and maybe I'm daydreaming, but I wish we could go back to the days where, you know, remember Channel 11 used to have them on for a long time.
Yeah, but see Bugby and Jim Sundberg at the mic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you know, I just think that that could be maybe a solution, but I don't know all the numbers that they have to figure out. But let's begin. I just like to get your reaction to March Madness. As I was telling you off the air, that I don't follow the college basketball season, but when they get to March Madness, I like to watch the games. Maybe it's the atmosphere. They're so enjoyable to watch, March Madness, even for someone like me who doesn't know half of the teams. They're just enjoyable to watch. So what's your reaction?
It's the only time of year that, I mean, during the regular season, I kind of keep up with it. I kind of listen to it. I kind of, you know, watch a game or two or three. It depends on who's playing. You know, I'll watch an SMU game. I'll watch a Texas game. I'll catch some of the women's basketball. Even catch some of those games. But that's during the season. During this time of year, do I hone in on it? I used to. I used to be glued to the television. And I used to, and I still do. I make my bracket, which, by the way, mine has been blown up. This is, you know, not to make light of something, but, you know, an atomic bomb blew mine up.
Yeah.
When Kansas lost, that was it.
Well, that other team, Oakland from Indiana, the university from Indiana, that blew up a couple of, yeah.
Yeah.
That blew up a couple of brackets.
With Kentucky going out early? Yeah. Who even dreamed that one? Yale was still in it for a little bit, you know? So,
Well, the only, you know, my, again, wishful thinking hope was that you had Texas on one side and Texas A&M on the other. So theoretically, they could have met in the final two, but that's not going to happen now.
That's and
the
Aggies are. And that would have been a heck of a road. As I'm sitting here looking at my bracket here, and then forgive me for taking my glasses off, but at my age, you can't see with or without. UConn's still in it. Houston's still in it.
Right, Duke is in. I think Duke is in.
Taking on Duke, I believe tonight.
Yeah.
The Wolfpack is still in it after they took out Oakland.
Gonzaga is still in it. They won. Gonzaga won.
Surprise. Gonzaga was my surprise. Marquette's still in it. Utah State was a surprise. I didn't expect TCU to lose to them. Purdue's still in it. Not a surprise there. Who's the other one I was not surprised of? Illinois.
Right.
That was my surprise because I had them losing. I was picking Morehead. I thought they were the dark horse.
Yeah.
Who else did I have that surprised the heck out of me?
Well, while you're doing that, I got to tell you that I thought the Longhorns game was really exciting at the end.
Yeah.
And I thought the Longhorns were going to pull it out. But that one, you know, see, that one was shown here locally in Channel 11, so that you could see.
In 11 being the CBS affiliate, CBS has all their platforms. So you got Paramount Plus on their streaming side. You've got, was it TBS? It's running some of it too. I mean, CBS has got March Madness down. I mean, it's been that way for the last decade or more.
Yeah, but before they had all these cable outlets, if you remember back in the 70s, they would actually show all the games, but they would start like 10 minutes. The games would start like 10 minutes different. So we generally get to see the end of every single game.
Right.
Because of the way they programmed it.
But you also didn't have 64 teams back in
the 70s. That's right. That's right. That's right. No, but I actually think, you know, as I said, I don't follow the college basketball season that much. I mean, I check in the paper, see who won. And once in a while, you watch it on TV. But the March Madness really takes me, and it excites me because I think it's the atmosphere. It seems like a very true sport. Well, you know, with the cheerleaders and the fans and the parents of the young people play. There's a romantic angle to it that I don't know. It's just exciting to watch. That's why I want
to go on and, you know, lose and go home.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about it that is exciting. Well, let's get to the Rangers, though. Okay. Defending world champion Rangers.
Doesn't have a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it sure does. I hope we can say it.
Doesn't that have a nice ring to it?
I hope we can say it a few years. There you go. That's it. Those hats are. I understand the Rangers are going to have special uniforms on opening day. The gold.
They'll have the gold trim.
Yeah.
On their unis, so their home unis will have the gold trim around the word Rangers and their numbers and their name.
Right.
And then they can wear these hats that have the gold T. And the World Series emblem on the trophy on the side. So, yeah.
Well, Mr. Davis must have gotten a pretty big bill for all those uniforms. I'm sure he was happy to pay it.
Major League Baseball picks up a little bit of that tab.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
And in fact, they're going to, on Friday, I don't know. Are you going to the game?
I'm not. We're not going to the game, unfortunately. It's a Thursday. No, we're not going. So I'll have to figure out how to watch it.
David. Oh, wow.
Yeah. David. Well, I know you are, and I'm going to follow your little notes on Facebook. You know, you keep updating us on Facebook. You know, I like those. I mean, you know, I follow them, so keep doing it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you might be the only one, but no, I appreciate that.
If I'm the only one, keep doing it.
I plan to.
Because one good customer is worth it.
That's right. And the best advertising is what? Word of mouth. The Rangers will also be, I believe, I don't know if they're going to be handing out the rings, but they'll at least be showing what their actual championship ring will look like. Now, I know there's been these sales on TikTok ad and Facebook and what have you, where you can buy a ring that says World Series champion on it or whatever. It's not the ring. So what it's going to look like, they'll present it, I believe, on Thursday.
I wonder when Chapman is going to get his, because he's with the Pirates, and I don't think they play the Pirates this year. They do play the Royals, so I think Will Smith will get his.
Right.
And when they play Seattle, he'll get his. But no, I think it's great. I mean, listen, this is part of – you know, being the defending World Series champion, you get all these little things,
right?
That,
and
you know,
it's only been happening recently. I think the Royals were the first one to start it when they won their World Series, that they got to wear the gold trim around on their uniforms. So this is kind of a cool thing. And the Rangers, I'm like everybody else. I'm still riding since November 1st, right. You know, at 10:04 PM. I got it down to the hour and the minute that the Rangers won the World Series, and they're still riding that cloud nine.
Well, I've got Eric Nadel's
call.
You're not daydreaming, Ranger. I've heard that a million times.
Yeah, you're not daydreaming, Ranger fans.
Yes, and that's right. What a great call. And then somebody made a video of all their playoff run, and it's fantastic. I've watched that a million times. So it's hard to get that out of your system, but that's what happens when you're the defending champs. I mean, you get to enjoy these moments, and that's why, you know, we're hoping that
home run. Corey Singer's in the bottom of the ninth in the game one, and then Adolis Garcia's rocket in the bottom.
Yes,
of the
that was great.
Yeah,
but those nine runs in Baltimore were really a lot of fun too.
That worked.
Remember that second game?
Yes, and then they destroyed, Arizona,
right?
Early. So, hey, there was, and remember, the road team, except for one game, road team won every game.
That's right. And the Houston series was phenomenal. I mean, that was a phenomenal series. They're going to be playing each other in April, and hopefully that, you know, for the first time, there's a baseball rivalry between Houston and the Rangers, and that's fun. That's fun. You know, that's a fun thing to have. That's something that we've never had before, but yet in other markets, in other places, like the Yankees and the Red Sox, and you know, the White Sox or the Cubs and the Brewers had it for a while, you know, the Cubs and the Cardinals, the Dodgers and the Giants, of course. So those are great rivalries that make for more fun baseball. That's just right. That's what it all comes down to.
But this is an interstate rivalry. This would be like having the Cubs and the White Sox playing in the same league.
Right. No, that's right.
This would be like the Mets and the Yankees.
That's right. And so, it's a rivalry of 300 miles. So think of all the people, you know.
And it's not just bragging rights of, you know, North Texas better than Houston or any of that. I mean, this is about teams that are they try to create that rivalry when interleague play started back in the early 2000s. And we had the Silver Boot rivalry then. But it never took off. When you talk to the players and you talk to people, you know, it was like, we're playing them whoop-de-doo. You know, it doesn't count. Because in their words, we much rather be playing somebody within our division and making these games count as far as within the division. Well, now you're in the division, and now it counts, and now the rivalry is what it is.
Right. No, it's a great rivalry. The last time the two teams were really good at the same time, now they are, but, I mean, you have to go back to the late 90s. I think in, like, 98, 99, the Astros were in the playoffs in the National League. And we were in the playoffs, so we didn't meet each other unless we went to the World Series.
Right.
So now you have a chance of meeting each other either in the Division Series or the SCS, so it just makes it more exciting. Well, let's look at the Rangers. Most of the team is coming back. I mean,
the lineup. The team is staying.
Right.
And I mean, I give credit to Chris Young.
That's Keith right.
And Bruce Bochy. Both.
That's right. But Keith, if you look at, for example, Josh Young, it looks like he'll be okay. Seager will be okay, of course. Marcus at second, first base. You were telling me that Lowe could be out longer. Is that what you're saying?
Be out 2 to 3 weeks. They're talking about an oblique injury, oblique
okay.
muscle.
So that makes it what, late April when he comes back, or
mid to late.
So who plays? Because I saw Duran the other day playing first base. He didn't look that bad, really.
No.
But he's not a very tall player. You want somebody a little bit taller, maybe at first base. But the other guy, Walsh, the left-hander, right, he was playing very well at first base. And I thought for a while there that Foscue would get to play at first base, but he's down in AAA again. I mean, I don't know what that kid has to do to stay up here, but he's a very valuable player.
The same thing that Huff is going to have to do.
Yes.
I'm nicknaming Sam Huff Duncan Yo-Yo. Because the Rangers, I'm serious. Have you ever seen him up, go down, come up, go down, come up, go down? He's got more tricks than, you know, the sleeping baby and baby in the cradle.
Well, thank God it's just it's just on I-35 from Round Rock, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's not that long of a trip, but
no, it's three hours by car and 50 minutes by airplane.
That's right. So but Sam Huff and Justin Foscue are two players that are going to go down. But I honestly thought Foscue would make the team. And he's a good young hitter. So anyway, so
the fact that they signed and was announced Wayne Langford has made the big league roster. That is huge.
That is huge.
And good for the rookie. Bruce Bochy stated that, you know, he was what he has done during camp, what he has done during this spring has proven that in Bochy's terms, this is the reason why we do what we do in the game. To see youngsters like this.
Yes. Well, you have now Carter and Langford both qualifying, but potential rookie of the year, because, you know, both of them, people forget that Carter wasn't here that long. He didn't play 90 games. I guess that's the minimum.
No, he came in. He was here. He was a
September, basically.
September. And he stayed on the team.
That's right. So you've got,
you know. And look what he did in left field.
That's right. Man, that catch in Houston that he made. That was amazing. But then you have – so you got Garcia in right field, Taveras in center, that stays. Then Carter in left, Langford, DH. But I think – tell me if you disagree, but I think Bruce Bochy is going to rotate – except for Taveras. He's going to rotate Carter and Garcia and Langford and maybe Duran also later in the season. He's going to rotate those guys in the DH. and might even put Seager at the DH once in a while. And that's what he's going to – I think we're going to have a rotating DH. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know about rotating, but I know you're going to have a platoon. You're going to have a platoon. You're right, going to have guys – yeah, you're going to have guys that will go – Garcia, not so much. Even though Garcia you want to give him a couple of days off. I mean, more than a couple. I'm being silly with the term. But you want to give him days off just because – the wear and tear on his body, and the guy's going to be 35 during the season. So they got to be careful with him. Seager, as the one I'm really concerned with is Semien, because Marcus was the Iron Man last year.
Right. Yeah. He's playing too much.
A horrible slump toward the end of the season, you know, in August and September, he wasn't doing anything.
Right.
Defensively, he was still solid. Offensively, not so much.
In fact, it wasn't until the end of the World Series that he got hot. Remember that?
Well, the last game or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in game five, for certain.
Well, what I think, look, Bruce Bochy is a lot smarter than me, but I'm sure he's going to sit down with Marcus and say, Marcus, let's get you down to maybe 145 games, and you can DH a little bit. The good news is that they've got Smith, who can play second. They've got Duran, who can play second. So, you're not giving up any defense. Yeah,
you
got
guys you can put in holes.
That's right. And even, I mean, I would give – I mean, I guess if I was Bruce Bochy, and I'm not, of course, but if I would want all of the regulars in the infield in general to play about 145 games. And then that's where you bring on all these substitutes, and especially behind the plate with Jonah Heim. Now, they've got a really good backup for him. And so, you know, Heim maybe will play 100 games maybe or so. But you want to keep these guys fresh because the postseason is a lot longer now, as we learned.
And yeah. I mean, you're playing into late October, early November, you know, for a championship.
That's right. So you got to have these. Plus September, too. I mean, September for the Rangers, the last 2 weeks of September, every game was meaningful.
Right. Including the last game of the season when they lose 1-0 to Seattle and you give up the your first place in your bye to the Astros. But that didn't hurt them.
No.
Obviously. No.
It worked out well. It worked out well. But I remember that last game, listening to it. And you know, when Carter, I think, led off the 9th inning, he gets on second base, nobody out. And you thought, oh, great, comeback. And unfortunately,
it didn't.
It didn't then, happen then. They got the comeback in the more important games, I guess.
Right. And then the Houston Astros made that comment about, you know, what if the Rangers win the West? Well, I guess we'll never know. Boy, did that stick in their that stuck with the team. And that was a battle cry. That was a
rally. It sure was. And at that big parade, I mean, when Seager said that was tough. Well, let's look at the pitching staff. Pitching, as you know, is so important. The bullpen, I thought they made two great additions. This fellow Yates and Robertson, those are two guys who have actually closed before. So, of course, LeClerc is probably going to close, but I like their bullpen. I mean, I think their bullpen is much better than last year.
Sadly, during the season, not the postseason, but during the season, LeClerc, to me, wasn't that solid of a closer. Too many times he would come into the game and it would slip through his fingers. And I was very, very scared. And then all of a sudden, here comes the postseason and he is lights out.
He was.
And I have a whole new respect for the kid. Right. But I was still, again, Bochy saw something I didn't see, obviously. Kept him right where he wanted him, kept him right where he needed him. And for me, that was everything. They signed this kid from the Phillies to fill
Lorenzen.
Lorenzen. They signed him from the Phillies. That's to fill DeGrom's spot because DeGrom's still in the 60-day IL, but he's not going to be coming back, they say, until maybe August. And this is, you know, the elbow, the shoulder, the whole arm. You know, and somewhere along the line, and Sylvie, you can appreciate this, somewhere along the line, the Mets are looking at the Rangers going, we told you so. When you signed him, we told you so. So, you know, hopefully some of the medical staff with the Rangers and the hospitals and what have you are doing their best with him. Max Scherzer, the other, he's coming back from, I think it's UCL. Is that his, was that his injury? No.
I don't think it was that serious, but whatever it was, it took him out for a while.
Yeah.
An operation, I think.
His was a herniated disc.
Okay, right.
That was a herniated disc. I apologize. But Scherzer was a herniated disc. He's looking to come back, they say, in mid-June.
Well, see, that would be fantastic. If Max was here by July 1st,
yeah,
that would make my day, because you know you're going to get a pretty solid pitcher down the road. But they also signed another pitcher, another free agent who was with Minnesota, who's also going to be back in the second half. Molly, was it? The lame, the pitcher?
I think I wrote his
name. Maley, I think it is. But
hang on a second.
Yeah. But that one is supposed to be also, I mean, they've got three.
M-A-H-L-E, Molly.
Yeah.
Molly. Some,
that's right. Now,
but he
had, that's sort of the second half expectation.
But he's got a UCL injury. He's the one with the UCL.
Right. So
yes.
One of the concerns that I have, one of the reasons that I was hoping they would sign Montgomery. So one of the reasons I was hoping they signed Montgomery, and I guess technically they still can, but it looks less and less likely. One of the reasons is because I didn't want to put that much. I didn't want to bank so much on three guys who are injured, and one of them is 40 years old. You know, that's my concern with Max, that he's going to be 40 or 41. And, you know, eventually your body has the last word. And so yeah, that's my concern with him. DeGrom, I don't know what to make of him. We get whatever we get with him. But if he comes back in any form, I mean, he could be lights out in September. I mean, I can see him taking you to the World Series just by himself. I mean, what I saw of DeGrom, the little bit that we saw, the guy was unbelievable whenever he would pitch. I mean, that ball would move in ways that were just like beyond description.
The lost art. This is a lost art because you don't hear many guys in Major League Baseball at this level right now throwing a knuckleball. But how many arms have been saved by that one pitch? The Negro Brothers, Charlie Huff, R.A. Dickey, who was at one time a Ranger, redeveloped himself, reinvented himself with a knuckleball and was quite successful at it. In fact, I think he threw a no-hitter with it.
Charlie Huff for sure. I mean, look, Charlie Huff was one of the best pitchers of the 1980s. It's yes, just he pitched on a very bad team. But the guy would, I mean, he would go out and pitch complete games and win 18 games with some very bad Rangers teams. I mean, except for that, the only decent team that Charlie Huff pitched for was an 86 team. Remember that when they had that in 1986, when they went to like the last day of the season or something, and they had all those rookie players like Ruben Sierra and all of those.
Pete Incaviglia, Sierra.
Yeah, Incaviglia, and the fellow Otobe McDowell, and Pete O'Brien. You know, I'm thinking of all these names my kids used to love when they were like 3 or 4 years old. You know, Pete O'Brien, they used to like him.
Yeah, but, number nine.
Number nine. But I mean, Charlie Huff, you're right. I mean, the knuckleball was a savior, and he was a great pitcher.
Astro Jackson.
Yes. I mean, so.
I watched when Jackson at the time, he was playing for the Royals. And you talked about 86. This is back in the days when I used to shoot with a camera.
Yeah.
And I'm the first base photographer as well. And Huff is on the mound. Jackson's at the plate, and somewhere in this very room that we're sitting in right now, in a box, there is a photograph of Bo Jackson being corkscrewed into the dirt at home plate on a strike three. And he swung so hard, he corkscrewed himself. Legs were twisted like a pretzel.
Yes.
But to me, that's baseball. That's a lost art. That pitch by itself is so nasty and so unpredictable. And I don't know why guys don't, I don't know why they don't try throwing it, even in the college level.
Yeah. Tim Wakefield, if you remember, who passed away last year, he was exceptional too. But you mentioned Bo Jackson, and I just wanted to say one thing because Bo Jackson, you know, was such an exceptional player, but he had a very short career, as you know.
Right,
because of the injury. Yeah, when he was playing with the Raiders, he got hurt, and then. But that is the one player. My sons didn't really get to watch him that much because by the time they got around to the following baseball, it was more in the second half of the 90s. So they really didn't. They know who Bo Jackson is, and I've told them about it. To me, Bo Jackson was the most unbelievable athlete who ever played baseball. What I saw, what he could do. I mean, there's a video that they have on YouTube or something of him throwing out a runner at first base on a fly ball. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. And then that catch he would make and when the he would hit.
Yeah, when he walked the outfield, the Spider-Man.
And when he hit that home run off of Nolan Ryan in the All-Star game, I mean, the guy was just unbelievable. And it's a shame that he got hurt because I think he could have been, you know, he was also a very easy person to market because he was so marketable. But he could have been probably. Yes. So he could have been probably, but, you know, he decided to play football, and it's risky to do both. I mean, the injuries in football can, in the knees in particular, can
ask
really.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah, Deion Sanders. So, I mean, I think you better stick to one sport, not both. But some players, I guess the ego just doesn't stop them. Look, it's hard for me to criticize that because if I could play Major League Baseball and in the NFL, I'd probably do it. I mean, I'd probably do it because it's such a.
But for me, you know, if I could play both sports, I'd take baseball because of the wear and tear on my body would not be.
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
And I would play longer. But
you're right.
There's a famous photograph, and I know you know it, Nolan Ryan with the bloody lip, where the blood's dripping on his uniform.
Yeah, the ground ball that was hit back to him, yeah.
It was a hard chopper that hit him flush in the face. That was a Bo Jackson shot.
Oh, I forgot about that. No, I forgot about that. Yeah,
well, a lot of people think that he got the bloody lip from Robin Ventura and the pounding. But Ventura never got a punch off.
Right. No, you're right. No, I remember that. I remember that bloody lip. I mean, it was on, I think it was the National Game of the Week or something, because he was, you know, it became a very famous picture. But in the first half, getting back to the Rangers for a second here, in the first half, you have Eovaldi. You've got Gray, who's, I think I like John Gray. Then you have Haney. And here's the one, you know, Corey Bradford, who's a local kid from one of the high schools around here.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if he was successful? What a great story, you know. He's from Aledo High School,
right?
And he plays at Baylor, and then he's starting for the Rangers. I mean, there aren't too many stories like that, but that would be great if Corey Bradford could actually develop into a good pitcher. He's got the stuff to do it, Dave.
He does, and I will be quite interested to see how he is. Cody Bradford's who you're talking about, right?
Yeah, Aledo High School. I mean, just I guess between here and Fort Worth.
He's 26 years of age. He's 6'4", 197 pounds. Last year, this is 2023 stats, where he was 4-3 with a 5.30 ERA, 51 strikeouts. Which, I mean, the 5.30 ERA, that you got to work on that. But his 2023 stats, he played in 20 games, started 8. So he had but I like to see him. I would like to see him succeed. Have a better season. And you know, with Maddux as your pitching coach, how can you go wrong?
Right. And also last year he was playing, he was not playing in what they like to call leverage situations. So he came in a lot of times and he would give up. If you're a relief pitcher and you give up 3 runs, that'll kill your ERA. So that sometimes ERA, it's a hard measurement for a relief pitcher, but I'm high on him. I hope he can make the team and do quite well. And if he can, then that's going to make the overlooking of Montgomery look like a much better decision.
Dane Dunning is still on staff, and I watched him last year. He was really sharp.
Yes.
The other name I couldn't remember to say.
Josh, I think is hurt, right? But he should be.
Sports.
Yeah, but I think he's hurt. I don't think he's on the opening day.
I have not seen his name on the injury list.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong then.
No, I haven't.
Brock Burke was also a marginal for making the team. But there's another guy who made the team, Jose Berrios, who they picked up as a free agent. I believe he made the team. I'm surprised that he made the team, Jose Berrios.
So Berrios.
Yeah, I thought he was that he came here from Cincinnati and they picked him up as one of these, what do they call them, type five or category five when players are released.
He's actually not on the roster.
Oh, okay. He didn't make it then. Okay.
He's an invited player.
Okay. So he didn't make it. Okay. I misunderstood. I thought he had made it. The one player that I'm kind of really looking forward to is Duran. For some reason, I've always been very high on Duran. And I think last year he had a great first half and then he tailed off. So I hope that he gets enough at bats because I think he can hit 20 home runs, especially if he starts playing regularly at first base. And Duran is the kind of guy who can play. He could play 150 games just, you know, being a utility infielder, you know, substituting for these guys here and there.
He played 122 games last year. He batted .276 with 14 home runs, 46 RBIs for the time that he was up with the league or with the big team. Though he is projected to play or be on the roster, I should say, for opening day. Now, Rangers got two games coming up on Monday and Tuesday at the Ball Yard where they'll be taking on the Red Sox. Monday night's game's an evening game. Tuesday's an afternoon.
Yeah, one is a 1 o'clock game. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Wednesday's the day off. And then Thursday, they open up against the Cubs.
Right. So we'll get to see Cody Bellinger, I guess, with the Cubs on Thursday. But one last thing, Dave, here as we before we do our prediction, what do you make out of this Ohtani situation? Yeah. I guess I'm confused. I'm hoping for the best.
You're not the only one.
I'm hoping for the best, Dave. I really am. I'm really hoping that nothing happens to Ohtani because that would be brutal for baseball.
It would be brutal for the game, to happen.
But what do you know about that? I mean, do you have any feeling about it?
Well, let's play catch up with everybody. Just give them a quick thumbnail sketch. His interpreter, who's a friend of his named Epi, and I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Mizuraha, is stating and has made a statement to the point where Mizuraha, has had a gambling problem. And they got him messed up with a guy named Matthew Boyer, who is a known bookmaker, bookie, whatever you want to call him. Illegal. He's not with a sports book. He's not with somebody in Vegas. He's a bookie. And he met him in Atlanta during a poker game that Ohtani was invited to through his friendship with a former teammate of his with the Angels who's playing for the Atlanta Braves. So they're a friendly, you know, poker game. And ball players play poker. They play dominoes. It's a friendly game. From the story that Mizuraha is talking about is that he got messed up with Boyer, started making book with Boyer, got into debt with Boyer up to after he met him in 21. By the end of 22, he was $1 million in the hole. By the end of 2023, he was in the hole for $4.5 million. According to Mizuraha, Ohtani has nothing to do with this other than the fact that he's associated with Mizuraha. Well, Dodgers fired Mizuraha as his interpreter. Now there's an investigation opening up to see if Ohtani had anything to do with this. And more importantly, did Ohtani bet? Is any of this his gambling to where Mizuraha, and I know I'm throwing a lot of names out here, is saying that Ohtani doesn't gamble and there's no betting on baseball. Because you and I both know what would happen if there was.
Right. Yeah. Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, I knew you could.
Yeah.
So
And of course, just to fill in the blanks a little bit for those who may not, because, you know, we're, Pete Rose was from another generation. This happened to Pete Rose 15 years after he had played. I mean, he was no longer an active player by the time he got suspended. Yeah, he was a manager, yeah, with the Reds.
And G-Bart and Giamatti, A-Bart Giamatti.
Right. That's right. And I think that was in 89. There was really crazy. Something really crazy happened in 89. In the last week of August, Nolan Ryan had his 5,000th strikeout and Pete Rose was suspended. Like a few days apart. I'll never forget that.
And but, sometime between that point and I think 1990, Giamatti dies.
Yes, he died shortly after that. He had a heart attack. That's right. That's that. But yes, I mean, we know what happened to Pete Rose. And the biggest problem with Pete Rose, of course, is that he's not in the Hall of Fame, which everybody knows he would have been. I mean, that would have been a first round pick.
Yeah, easy.
So I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping for the best. And I'm hoping that the worst thing that Ohtani did here is maybe show some very, very bad judgment. And I'm hoping that's all there is. But my goodness.
I'm hoping that if in the typical Japanese tradition, because that's the only way I can word this, Mizrahi is throwing himself on his sword. He's going to take the hit.
Well,
to protect his friend.
If that's what it takes, because it would be brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal for the game of baseball.
And on top of that, all of this came light when the Dodgers and the Padres are in Seoul, South Korea.
Exactly.
Opening up the 2024 season, and Robert Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, is sitting in the stands where someone says, hey, have you heard what's going on with Ohtani as he's coming to bat?
I know. It's just awful news, and as I say, I'm just hoping for the best because I remember what happened to Pete Rose.
Yeah.
And that was awful, and this would be 10 times worse, I believe, because of the impact that Ohtani would have on the game. Well, this one last thing here, Dave, before we wrap up. Let's make a prediction. I predict that the Rangers will win the West. It'll be a very tough fight between the Astros, Seattle, they add Seattle to it, and the Rangers. It'll be a very tough fight, but the Rangers will win the West. So what's your prediction?
I'm going to throw a dark horse into it.
All right.
Only because of their manager. Ron Washington is back in the West.
Yes.
Ron Washington's got the Angels.
That's
right. Ron Washington knows how to win.
Yeah, he does.
Ron Washington knows how to handle pitchers.
He does.
And so I think Bochy and the Rangers could take the West, but I think the dogfight's going to be between the Astros and the Angels. You threw Seattle in there? I got no problem with that one.
Yeah.
Oakland, not a chance. Oakland, man. Does anybody know what's going on with Oakland? Is Oakland going to go to Vegas? Are they staying in Oakland? Are they going?
The situation with Oakland, I cannot blame the commissioner 100% for it, but he is the commissioner. That team should not be playing in Oakland this year. They should have moved them somewhere. They should move them to San Antonio. There's a stadium there for them. They should
San Antonio, New Iberia, Louisiana.
Yeah, or what about anywhere? What about moving them to the Metroplex? They can play in the old baseball stadium. They can refurbish that for a baseball team. They can be called the Fort Worth A's. And we have two teams.
Rebuild LeGrave Field and let them play there.
Yes, but they shouldn't be playing in Oakland. Now, the one team in the American League, I think, you know, everybody's making the predictable predictions, the Orioles, the A's, I mean, the Rays. The Yankees, you know, those are predictable. The Blue Jays. I think the big surprise of 2024 in the American League is going to be Kansas City. The Kansas City Royals, they're in a very weak division to begin with. I mean, it doesn't
that
take a genius.
I don't argue with because you got the White Sox. I mean,
the Indians, well, the Guardians, the Twins.
I still call them the Indians also. Don't feel
bad. I do too, yeah. But for some reason, Kansas City, you know, they've made some decent trades and they've done a lot of player development. So I think the surprise team, the team that maybe not win the Central, but be, you know, no longer a pushover, I think is going to be Kansas City. That's my surprise team in the American League, Kansas City, because I think this young man, Bobby Witt Jr., is unbelievable. I mean, as a player, I mean, I don't know what his dad, his dad must have trained him correctly, because his dad was a pretty good player. I remember Bobby Witt here. But I remember when
Bobby Witt played for Oklahoma.
That's right. Now, where did Bobby Witt Jr. go to high school? In the area, didn't he go to high school in
did
the area?
Did he go to Arlington, Martin?
I think so.
Or Arlington, Sam Houston. I don't remember. I think he went to Arlington. He went to
somewhere in Arlington. Yeah. He played baseball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's a – so that's why I'm thinking that I'm going to put my money on Kansas City as the surprise team, the team that comes out of nowhere.
You know, Tom Greaves' kid, Ben.
Ben played there too, yeah. Ben, that's right.
He went off to play for the Oakland A's.
That's right. He was a pretty good player, yeah. He was a pretty good player too.
So Bobby Witt Jr., you know, it's really fun to see the next generation coming up.
Oh, absolutely.
It's you know, Vlad Jr. and Bobby Witt and, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. and all these – it's all great stuff. You get to see these kids come up and play games and be taking on their parents' legacy.
Well, I love the fact that they're called Junior, all of them, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. I think Ken Griffey started that, where, you know, all these kids are Junior, and I think that's kind of cool, because at least you know who their father was.
Right. The National League, the Dodgers, okay, let's just move a little bit beyond the Ohtani situation and say Ohtani gets cleared and Ohtani plays.
I hope so.
The Dodgers strengthen themselves with Ohtani. That's a given. So the Dodgers, I think, between the Dodgers and even the Giants, that's a good dogfight.
Should be.
In the Central, to me, that's a toss-up, because the Pirates and the Reds,
right,
and maybe even the Brewers,
right.
That's a three-way toss-up.
Yes.
And in the East, I don't know.
I got to go with the Braves in the East and maybe the Phillies. I don't think the Mets are quite there yet.
But remember, the Phillies, for the most part, and even the Nationals, for the most part, have been eaten up by free agency.
Right.
So that the East, to me, is kind of that's a horse race that I would just say pick them.
Right. Well, I'll go with the Braves in the East. And then the next time we get together, we can predict the World Series. Let's leave a little bit on the plate for the next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dave, as always, it's absolutely delightful to connect with you again. And let's do it maybe in a month or so and see where the Rangers are and where some of these players are doing. I'm anxious to see how Langford is doing. But I want to thank you so much for giving us your time tonight and all your knowledge and all the information. And enjoy the game on Thursday.
I plan to, and then we'll enjoy another great season in the sun with the Rangers and baseball.
Let's do it. Thank you so much, my friend. That's great to have you.
It's been a pleasure. Sylvia, you have a great rest of your week.
All right. My good friend, Dave Michaels, we go back a while. We did a show one time together many years ago, and here we are again talking baseball. We're all excited about the Rangers. I am. I will repeat, I think they will win the West, but it's going to be a very tough race with the Astros and with the Mariners, and Dave mentioned the Angels. I think that's probably a good point. And we'll see how it goes, but it should be very exciting to watch the Rangers this year. Something, this kind of excitement we haven't had in a very long time. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.